This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We will get you ready for the rest of your Thursday. Certainly a much happier day in ACC land today, Wes, considering yesterday we were sitting here going, yikes, lose 6 out of 7 to the Big Ten, but that was not the case. Started with Clemson beating up on Maryland and finished off with Pitt somehow winning that game last night against Northwestern, leading for the last 5 seconds of the game, the only lead, and in between, get the brooms out because the ACC went 4-0 against the Big Ten last night.
Yeah, let's start in Tallahassee where the Noles won for the 10th straight time in overtime. How's that?
Pretty good.
By the way, 10 straight overtime wins and a first ever win against Indiana, 69-67. The final, MJ Walker led the Noles in scoring, but here is the freshman Scotty Barnes and the game winner.
Euro step.
How about
one,
this?
1, 2, 3, hop.
Yep.
Perfect. He may be pretty good, Wes.
Here's another look.
Yeah, this kid may be a pretty good player after all the hype, right? I mean, you've seen 2 games, and he shows you some flashes where you go, that dude, number 4 now. Keep an eye on that guy. He may turn out to be a pretty good player.
Yep. 6'9", handles it pretty well. Doesn't mind the pressure whole bit, right?
Yeah.
Fun to see Scotty Barnes last night. Get it done. MJ Walker, season high 19, now averaging 18 a game with Florida State through just a couple of ball games. Noles are really short on their schedule here. They've had some games canceled, things like that. Walker, senior from Atlanta, former McDonald's All-America, a lot was expected this year, and he has delivered. Balsa Koprivica also, by the way, really nice ball game inside pack for the Noles last night.
Yep, got size. I thought he played extremely well. And there's so many guys, right? I mean, every time you think you got Florida State figured out, Leonard just goes, hey, next 5, let's go. And he just brings another wave of dudes. And he has built a tremendous program. And, you know, again, when you start talking about ACC basketball for the men, we know about Duke and North Carolina and Virginia and Louisville and Syracuse. If you don't add Florida State into that conversation – right. You don't know what you're talking about because Florida State is the real deal. And as I just mentioned to Kurt, I'm not so sure as we sit here in early December, and I know the sample size is ridiculously small. Everybody has work to do, but I'm probably more comfortable now watching Florida State take on a team of note than really any team in the league today. Now, you may ask me that question a month from now or in March, and maybe a different answer, but Wes, I would tell you right now, if you said, hey, listen, pick your best team to take on the best team from conference X, Y, or Z, I think I'd probably go Florida State first right now, today. How about you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Florida State is, to me, and something Coach Greenberg brought up, it's the fact that we're just not talking about, you know, Walker and Barnes. We're talking about Raekwon Gray. We're talking about Koprivica. We're talking about, you know, Polite. I mean, there's just a lot of things to pull from with this team and a lot more knowns, Pack, even after 2 games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you think about it, we got the answers to more than just a thing here with Florida State. Now, again, North Florida, Indiana, we'll see what happens as it continues to unfold in the month of December. But definitely Florida State would be one. I tell you who else we know a little bit more about than maybe some others. Clemson Tigers, Pack. Tigers hooping, 67-51. They bounced Maryland again from the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And Amir Sims led the way for Clemson. Tigers look good, by the way. 4 guys in double figures. Sims had 16. They hit 9 threes. They showed me something yesterday. Because you want to double down on Mississippi State. We don't know where they are. Purdue, now that Clemson's beaten them, everybody's telling me Purdue might not be as good. And then all of a sudden Miami has to have this comeback the other night. And then I was told yesterday Maryland's going to be good, and Clemson beat them by 16 at home.
And that was a 16-point win that wasn't that close. Like I said, it was 40-15 early in the second half.
Yep.
And I'll be completely transparent. I did not see the game live because I was doing radio, but I was checking in on the scores and going, wow, I mean, that's a good win. And like I said, Mark Turgeon, always has his guys prepared, and they recruit well. That's a really good program at College Park, and they got taken to the woodshed yesterday. Simple as that. I mean, that was a complete, total beatdown.
By the way, John Newman also back in the lineup, played meaningful minutes, played really, really well for Clemson. That's another guy to go with honor. Alamir Dawes, Amir Sims, P.J. Hall, who was back on the floor yesterday as well. And a special shout-out to the the A-Barracuda pack. Your alma mater against hers, right?
Yeah, she was.
You win the flag from Allie Gehring?
Well, I wasn't looking for it, but she was barking about what Maryland was going to do. And when I saw, I will say this, during the radio show yesterday, during the break, I looked and saw the score. It was 40-15. I sent Allie a note on Twitter, and I said, busy with the show. How's the game going? That's all I did.
Yeah.
So, but nevertheless, I will point out one other thing. 25 points off the bench. There is a serious case of quality depth with this team at Clemson. And that might be something as we go into this season that you better keep an eye on, because Brad does not mind. He's, like I said, he's kind of got a semi-version of what Leonard Hamilton's been able to do over these years. Next wave of players, let's go. And you don't lose any confidence that, hey, these guys can get it done. So far, so good for the folks down there in Little John Coliseum. They're off to a really, really nice start.
Georgia Tech has recovered in their last two after an ugly 0-2 to start, right? Jackets beat Kentucky on Sunday at State Farm Arena, go on the road last night to Nebraska, and win 75-64. As Pack alluded, it's not as comfortable maybe as the score might indicate. Jackets kind of ran off in the last 6 minutes behind Jose Alvarado. Michael DeVoe knocked down a couple standing threes last night. Moses Wright with a block shot back up the highway to Omaha. Again, for a team that's never been a great road team to go to Nebraska and win in the ACC. Pack, I'll be honest with you. I can count on one hand the number of road wins Georgia Tech has had in the 20-odd years of the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Well, they may have the weirdest-looking resume of any team in the ACC as of this second. Because if you look down Georgia Tech's schedule, you're going to see Georgia State. What was the score of that game? Loss. Four overtimes. Mercer, loss. You're like, oh, yeah, who are these guys? And you're going to see Kentucky, absolute beatdown. You're like, wait a minute. I'm rubbing my eyes. This can't be right. And then a road trip to Nebraska, and like again, if you watch the game with 7.5 minutes to go, it's anybody's game. It's whatever you want. And Georgia Tech said, no, we're going to own this. And Alvarado went back-to-back threes, and off to the races Georgia Tech goes. 18-6 run, and they put that thing in the rearview mirror. So they have a strange combination of wins and losses so far. But the good news is there's momentum right now with what they've done with the effort against Kentucky and what they did last night against Nebraska.
There you go. So congratulations to the Jackets. They bust the pinata and they fly home after an 11-point win. Pittsburgh waited 39 minutes and 55 seconds to take the lead last night. They even chased Pack from the broadcast.
They did.
And Justin Champagne, by the way, I like the road blues now.
Me too.
I like that jersey. Woo. Yep. Champagne, fantastic. A typical 2020 game for Justin Champagne, including the game winner last night for Coach Capel.
Xavier Johnson really good too. 21-7 and 4 assists. And I told you, I was completely transparent. I tried. I was there in spirit watching all these games last night, eating some Jenny's ice cream into the wee hours. But I went 11 minutes in that first half, and I'm telling you, Pitt couldn't throw it in the ocean standing on the beach for the first 10 minutes. It was 17-6. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I pulled a Spurrier, like I told you. I tapped out and said, I'll catch y'all later. And was pleasantly surprised when I got up this morning about 2:30 and saw how Pitt won the game. I was like, wow, that's a great win, especially you don't have the lead all night. You've been playing uphill. You're down 7 with about 3:45 to go, and you're thinking, man, we're going to lose this thing. You reached down deep and found a way to win and sweep the Big Ten. That was a nice close to the night for the ACC. Compliments of Pitt.
Audis Tony, Justin Champagne, and Xavier Johnson combined for 59 of Pitt's 71 last night.
pretty good. Those three were good. You know what else was good?
I'm going to keep. What's that?
Gingerbread and cognac. That was the ice cream last night. That was really good. At the time, it was much better than watching Pitt Northwestern try to score. So I'm just suggesting that for the holidays. Jenny's ice cream, gingerbread and cognac ice cream.
I thought you were getting ready to get some sort of basketball revelation.
Well, I just did. I told you. It was better than watching the first 10 minutes of that game. I just tied it all in together. You looking for something for the holidays? A Pac-Man food suggestion. Jenny's ice cream.
Great.
Gingerbread and cognac. It is spectacular. And so was the ending of that game last night for Pitt. Yeah. There you go. Where else can you get that kind of breakdown?
I thought I was going to get some sort of nowhere.
Except for this
show. Absolutely nowhere.
That's exactly right here.
This is it. An exclusive to you, the discerning viewer and listener.
Not only do you get caught up with the ACC sports, you also now have a holiday suggestion that if you're out there going, you know, Pac was talking about some crazy ice cream from Jenny's, gingerbread and cognac. Wow. Man, that might be perfect for the holidays. Get you right in the spirit.
Yeah.
Trust me. I will not. You may disagree with a sports stance, but you will not disagree with a food suggestion coming from this side. I promise you.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not a paid spokesman.
No, you're not. I could be a paying customer.
I am a paying customer, and it is awesome.
Yes.
10 on a 10 scale.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Now, we're going to talk a little women's basketball. Can I say one thing before we bring Debbie on? And we always love Debbie being on here.
Sure.
But my favorite part of our show, and has been from day one, is the interaction with the student athletes. I mean, I just get a kick out of them, right? Mm-hmm. And they've been so good on our show that you lose sight that they're student athletes. It's almost as if you're talking to a real professional on television. That's how good the student athletes are in this league. And not only what they do on the court or football field or field hockey or whatever it is, but how good they are on television. And if you think about it, they have no idea who we are. And they're talking to two dudes and they're looking into a camera or into a, whatever it is. Yeah. And they're energetic and they're funny and they're smart. And they have conversations as if they've known us for 100 years, and they don't. I thought yesterday, Gina Conti was so much fun, the Wake Forest basketball player, where she totally, and again, you know, I'm always going to try to come up with something offbeat. And when I saw that refrigerator behind her yesterday, I said, well, you know, what's the most disgusting thing? And she, without missing a beat, couldn't wait to have fun with us and pulls out the Yoo-hoo chocolates, which I didn't even think they made anymore, and started talking about beef jerky. And I just obviously she's an incredibly talented player. That's number one. Number two, she's obviously very, very bright. And you could just tell anybody at Wake Forest that's going to be the case. And the fact that no procrastination, let's go tackle life and knock out exams and do all this stuff. And then she's got the great sense of humor. And I just want to just bring that up because we're getting ready to talk some women's hoops here. But I can't emphasize enough how much fun it is to bring the student athletes on here, regardless of sport, and really how enjoyable it is. And to me, we can talk about rankings and championships and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's quality of the people, right? It's how you handle yourself and get a quality education. And whether you go on to the WNBA, the NBA, the National Football League, Major League Baseball, whatever, that's all fine and good for the 1%. But for the vast majority, they're going to get into society once they get their degree, and they're going to be good people. And you really get a sense of that when you talk to the student athletes on our show. And I just want to emphasize that again, because I thought Gina yesterday was so much fun. I can't wait to have her back on the show.
Yeah, no, she was tremendous and off to a good start after their early loss at Arkansas. They come back, and Wake Forest, part of our triple header on ACC Network coming up on coming up tonight, because Jen Hildreth and Kelly Gramlich will have Carolina, Wake Forest, and Winston-Salem. You know, the student-athletes, Pac, go on to distinguished careers, as you said, either on or off the floor. And that's where Debbie Antonelli checks the box. Oh, and by the way, you were a student athlete too, technically, at Clemson. I guess that's what they called it back then, right?
There's no technicality. Yeah, I was. Absolutely.
Okay.
Now,
well, Debbie was a student athlete. I know Debbie Antonelli was a student athlete. Debbie, good morning. How are you?
Guys, good morning. Yes, I was code for student athlete in college. That meant I couldn't jump, I wasn't fast, but I could shoot it.
Hey, by the way, I was just bragging about Gina Conti, 21 of 21 from the line. That reminds me of somebody else I know.
Ooh.
Hey, listen, it's like riding a bike, right, guys? Once you learn how to shoot it and you learn how to shoot it the right way, muscle memory kicks in, and then you can shoot it when you're getting AARP mail.
There you go. You're all over it. I like the thinking. Always positive. I like the way you're thinking.
I like
– Hey, Debbie, what do we know after a couple of weeks?
With you guys is a good thing.
That's right. Same here.
Yeah, well, bless your heart. Hey, what do we know after a couple of weeks here? We saw Georgia Tech beat Boston College yesterday. Fast start for the Jackets. Coach Mack's team did not start fast, and that maybe was the difference in the ball game. But we're getting ready to really dive in, including tonight's doubleheader that you're a part of.
I think we've learned there's a lot of depth in the league. There's a lot of really good scoring teams. We've seen some good offensive habits developed early. And I'm looking at, like, the most improved teams are North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Clemson. And you mentioned Boston College. I've been giving them an AP vote the last couple of weeks. I think they're really good. I also think they have the hardest schedule in the women's side. It's going to be really challenging for them to be at 500.
Debbie, you're going to talk depth, which is great. I want to go the opposite direction. I want to go to the top. And I know Louisville just put up 116 last week, and that was part of our best of the weekend and all that stuff, because you mentioned the offensive prowess of these teams this year. But how important was it for a team like NC State, coming off a year in which they win the ACC championship, to knock off number one on the road? Just the mindset of not only Wes's club, but also from a brand perspective for this conference?
I think it's huge. I think NC State is an elite program. They have had back-to-back-to-back 25-win seasons. They've been back-to-back finishing in the top 10. They win the ACC championship last year. I think they're better than last year already. And that's saying a lot, considering Ace Koenig is the second-best three-point shooter in the history of NC State basketball. They've got size and depth. They beat South Carolina in Columbia as the number one team without a starter. It wasn't pretty basketball, but they found a way to win. And I think that's important for the psyche of this team moving forward, because they definitely have a target on their backs.
Debbie, it's interesting, too, because you mentioned the depth of the league. And to go post a win like they did, I don't want to think it's a separator, though, because Louisville is still there. There are a lot of challengers here. And you mentioned the toughness of Boston College schedule. Behind NC State and Louisville, who's the next team in your mind here after a small sample size?
I was expecting Syracuse to be that next team. I still think they have a chance to be that next team. Quentin Hillsman has a roster that's deep and talented. They're young, but they're gaining big game experience, and they're going to get that through the league. Having, obviously, Tiana Monacahia back is an incredible story and an amazing individual feat that she could survive 8 chemotherapy treatments and 2 surgeries, including a double mastectomy, to be able to be back a year after she was diagnosed with cancer. I think they're a team that has something special. I think they got a little secret sauce about them because of that. And they've got a lot of talent on their front line. I like North Carolina, too, Wes. I think Courtney Bangert is doing an incredible job. They lead the league in scoring. And when I talked about offensive habits, that's what I'm talking about. They haven't played a challenging schedule yet. They are going to get challenged in the league. But I think they're off to a really good start.
Bigger wow factor, the start of Clemson's men's team or their women's team?
Oh, I think the men. I definitely think the men. I know Amanda Butler has done a great job with her team, but watching what Brad Brownell did last night, I don't ever think Brad gets enough respect across the landscape of college basketball. I do believe he gets it in the ACC, because I think the coaches in the league know how good he is. But when Amir Sims can play the way he can and the backcourt plays that way. I do think Clemson women are much better. I do think Amanda Butler is continuing on the right, trending in the right direction with her program. And but I think what Brad's been able to do early on is really impressive.
Hey, Debbie, I know you focus on the last two nights as well. And the ACC, didn't go well the first seven games on Tuesday night. Last night, they kind of were able to recover a little bit. In the scheme of the men's and women's games, should we be careful what we have for expectations here early just simply because of the awkward start to this whole deal?
I think we should, and because we really don't know how to evaluate or measure wins, how it's going to be looked at from an NCAA tournament standpoint on both the men's and the women's sides, I'm almost sort of interested in, you know, who's going to keep it in perspective? Like, which team in the ACC on the men or the women's side is going to win? And I know you're going to think this is going to sound kind of silly, but who's going to win the kickball and the wiffle ball championship? I mean, honestly, this is supposed to be a year for, if you play at all, it should be considered a win. Thinking about how the wins are going to be evaluated by the NCAA, because we've gotten no guidance. Usually you have the metrics with the net and other things that you can use. We really don't know. And so because we don't know, it can be really daunting to see what happens as we move closer to February and how much perspective we continue to keep about what we're actually doing this season.
Debbie, I want to get back to the ladies a second. We got two new coaches in the league, Coach Lawson at Duke, Coach Ivy at Notre Dame. I know it's an early sample size, but can we detect anything yet from the new blood in the league, if you will?
Oh, yeah. I think we can see a lot. First of all, with Nielle, I mean, she has a very talented team. They've had some injury early. She hasn't really had a full practice squad with her team. And so, you know, they're getting dinged up a little bit, and that's okay. You know, again, perspective on what she's actually trying to do. I mean, it's no easy task to just roll in and replace Muffet McGraw. I mean, that is an incredible feat to have to do that. And I think Nielle has it in perspective in terms of where the legacy is with Muffet. And, I mean, Muffet is like a second mother to her. Nobody's pulling for Nielle to have success more than Muffet. And then I think Carol Lawson, you know, again, I want to go back to offensive habits, you know, trying to create good offensive habits. They didn't play a very challenging schedule. I don't think there is much expectation for Duke. If you were going to ask me right now if they're an NCAA tournament team, I'd say no. So, you know, it's a free year. It's a perfect time for Kara to come in and to take on the challenge of what I think is the number one job in America. I think it's the best job in college basketball on the women's side. And I think she will continue to treat it that way as time rolls on and she figures out as a head coach what's important, what she likes, and what she can actually do with the talent she has.
Good stuff. All right, you got two games tonight, Carolina, Wake Forest, Syracuse, Miami. What are you looking for in each of those?
Well, I heard you guys talking about Gina Conti, and I mean, she's playing like a senior should play, right? Wake Forest has one of the few early wins over ranked teams, and I think Jen Hoover has the best team she's had at Wake Forest, and there's a lot of reasons why I think that. But for the matchup tonight, I'm really anxious to see how North Carolina, what pace the game is played at. I think Wake can play at a pace that's in the 80s. Because they do have more scoring. I'm anxious to see how North Carolina handles all the balance that Wake Forest brings and how the depth of North Carolina plays in. You know, there's 12 players on that roster, and Courtney Bangert is playing 11 of them, 12-plus minutes. And they have five players in double figures, North Carolina, with two that average nine. So they really almost have seven players averaging in double figures. It's pretty amazing. And I love offense. You know how I feel about that. So last possession wins that game. With a ball. And then for I'm actually calling the Syracuse-Miami game with Beth Mowins, and we're really excited about that. I had Syracuse the other night, and they got a win at home over Penn State, which is a good win. Miami is down their best player. Mykia Gray with an ACL injury went out earlier in the year. So Katie Meyer is a brilliant tactician and a great game adjuster. And when you go against Syracuse, it's pretty clear what you're going to have to face. Full court pressure, size at the rim, and you're going to have to figure out how to take care of the basketball and be able to make sure that you take the shots you want and not the shots that Syracuse dictates with their defense.
Debbie, there's one thing missing for me tonight with women's basketball. I ran out of gingerbread cognac ice cream from Jenny's, and I need to restock because that will be the perfect combination. Put my feet up watching hoops tonight.
Oh, my God.
Pack, I'd like to see a visual of that. Big bowl of ice cream with your feet up. Man, I can totally see it right now.
And let me tell you something. I don't leave a whole lot left, but I do leave a little for the dogs at the end. Got to leave a little for the hounds.
Man, I can't Jeez. Wait to visit you in that setting and have some ice cream with you.
Hot fire, some ice cream, some puppies, and baskets, man. Yeah. You can't beat that. That's a perfect night
there
for
you
me.
Go. Yeah.
That's a recipe for success, my friend. That's totally a winner.
That's living large right there. Well, listen, all keep right. up the good work. Always a pleasure.
You guys are great.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you for having me on.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, we had so much fun with the four box yesterday. We're going to try this again, Wes. I thought, to be honest with you, I know we've done this in the past, but I thought we were pretty smooth with it yesterday. We did stumble, bumble.
Pat ourselves on the back, shall we?
Yeah. So with that said, we're going to
pat ourselves on the back.
We're going to see how we handle it back to back.
Congratulate
days.
Yourself on a good job.
I'm going to go with the run here because I thought we did. I thought it was the highlight of the day, other than Gina Connie pulling out that Yoo-Hoo from her refrigerator. But we went four wide yesterday without any fumbles. So we got football tonight. It's game day in the ACC. We got Pitt and Georgia Tech. So let's bring on Paul Zeiss, Sean Bedford, and they'll take good care of us on this one. All right, here go the boys. We're going to try this four shot now. Here we go. All right, let's go.
There it is. Look at that. All right. Yeah, we did good. Yeah. Nice.
Now we got everybody up and rolling. So let's try this. All right, I'm going to start with Sean. All right, we finally got the Jackets playing football again. We got Pitt coming to town. So crystal ball this thing for me, Sean. The best case scenario for Georgia Tech tonight for the win, what has to happen?
Well, I think Tech has to establish the running game. And if you look at where Tech's been successful the last couple of weeks, and really it has only been a couple of weeks because Tech went a full month without playing football, was back into that Duke game, was racking up yardage on the ground, mixing up to their combination of backs in the backfield with Jordan Mason, Dante Smith, and now Jamias Griffin, who's back from injury. And even against NC State, for as lackluster as that game was offensively, Tech was able to find something on the ground and get something going. So I think if Tech's going to have success offensively, it's going to have to come on the ground because, let's face it, the pass rush for Pitt is as good as it gets in the nation, and Tech has struggled occasionally mightily in pass protection to give Jeff Sims enough time to really scan the field and to deploy to some of his downfield threats.
Whoa. Wait a second. We're talking about pass protection, Zeiss. Pittsburgh's got quality pass rushers. Last time I checked, how are they doing?
Well, they're doing well, except for Rashad Weaver, who's maybe their best pass rusher. It opted out a couple of days ago. So that's a really, really big loss for them on their defensive line. And quite frankly, I mean, if you really want to take a look at who shows up tonight, your guess is as good as mine because they keep things so quiet over at Pitt and so locked down. I mean, Pat Narduzzi doesn't give any information away. So, I mean, they could have, 40 guys out with COVID and we wouldn't know it until about 10 minutes before the game starts. I don't think that's the case, but the reality is, they definitely are going to be without Rashad Weaver. That sort of leaked out this week. And Pat Narduzzi sort of hinted that, it might not be the only guy. So that's the biggest question for Pitt. And even those guys who cover the team every day and they're there every day, they can't tell you who is actually going to be playing tonight other than maybe, I guess Kenny Pickett's playing, but who knows? And this year, you can't take any of it for granted.
Paul, I'm going to follow up with you. Pitt with Kenny Pickett, though, is a completely – totally different team. In fact, they don't even look anything like what was going on in October when he was out for a couple ball games, and the season kind of got away from the Panthers. And when that, it really started with Wes's call of that NC State game. They were never the same from that game right there that you can see on your screen. But with Pickett back in the lineup, though, it does change this team entirely.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things that Kenny Pickett has proven the last 3 years, really, but especially these last 2 years and this year, is that not only is he, you know, a really good player from the standpoint of he makes the passes he needs to make, he throws the, you know, he's got command of the offense, he's a leader, but he's just sort of a winner, a tough, gritty kid. He just knows, and I guess he's no longer a kid, he's a senior, so a gritty, you know, man who just, he understands how to play, he understands how to win, he understands how to lead a group of guys, and you know what? With him, they are absolutely completely different. I mean, I would love to have seen that Miami game with Pickett playing, you know, the entire game or whatever, just because I feel like he has had a really, really good season for them. And, you know, I know that Pat Narduzzi and company would love for him to take advantage of that extra year thing that the NCAA is providing, but it does not sound, if you talk to people around Kenny Pickett, if you listen to even Pat Narduzzi, I think they're pretty clear he will not be here next year. And, you know, based on what we saw behind him, that could be problematic, but that's next year's team. But you're right. I think Pitt Panther fans really probably don't appreciate how good Kenny Pickett has been and how much they're going to lose when he's gone.
Sean, interesting transition, because you talk about next year at Georgia Tech. Last year was a lot of talk about next year. We're starting to see a lot of young guys formulate. You mentioned Gibbs, Jamias Griffin back from injury, Jeff Sims, a true freshman. How much do you value tonight and next Saturday against Miami in relationship to not only 2020, but what 2021 could be for Jeff Collins?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Wes. I think really, if Tech fans want to have a healthy approach to this game, one of the ways you can look at this is sort of an extension of that spring practice that Tech didn't really get, or the bowl practice that a number of teams are not going to get this year because of the number of bowl cancellations. But this is an opportunity to get live game reps against a really good defense tonight. And, you know, if the game next week gets played against Miami, it'll be a similar situation. This is an irreplaceable opportunity for these young guys who are going to play critical roles, who aren't necessarily going to lose eligibility this year, to develop and really, you know, hit the ground running next year, so that you have guys who, at least in year, are still freshmen or sophomores, but who in experience level are, you know, getting closer towards being those proven veterans. So I think having these guys get an opportunity to get out there, take their lumps now, and experience some of these live game situations against ACC competition, I think that's going to be tremendously helpful for the growth of this program going forward.
Sean, we talk a lot about the younger guys in Georgia Tech's program, but Paul just mentioned there is this notion out there that veteran guys may come back and play the bonus year, a senior perhaps. Is Jeff Collins got anybody earmarked to come back and play the bonus 21, as I'm calling it?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and it sounds like Coach Collins and Coach Narduzzi kind of take similar approaches to locking down the information coming out of the program. So we haven't heard anything official about who may or may not be coming back next year. But I think there are a number of guys who would be really solid candidates for that. I think someone like Jalen Camp, the receiver who missed a number of games, actually most of the season last year due to injury, I think he would be well positioned to come back. You know, someone like Ryan Johnson, the offensive guard who transferred in from Tennessee, who would be a fifth-year senior but could really be a stalwart on that line next year. I think he's another candidate for that. And then you just kind of go through the line and see some of the guys who have been around the program who maybe were looking for a breakout year this year, who didn't quite get it, but think they had that next-level potential and really want to hone their craft. I think some of those guys, Antonius Clayton, the defensive end who's transferred from Florida, I think that comes to mind. And so I think those transfers in particular may be the ones who benefit most from this arrangement, because they've got another year to be in the program to really demonstrate what they can do and show out for the scouts.
You know, I want to go to Paul a second because, you know, Sean's sitting there comfortably at home in Atlanta, warm, toasty state of Georgia. Paul, you're in your car. Yeah. I mean, I got to figure it's a bit brisk this morning in Pittsburgh. For you to be in your car to conduct this interview, I've got to know, just where in the world are you going?
Well, I'm actually I got a doctor's appointment here, so I'm sitting in the parking lot. You know, I want to make sure that I take care of my guys here. But it's, believe it or not, it's actually not bad here. It's like about 45, 46 degrees.
Oh,
and tomorrow,
that's summer.
I'm just going to tell you this. Tomorrow, it's, what is it, November, actually December, like 15th or whatever it is. Tomorrow, I've got a tea time at like 11:30. So that tells you what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. So it's not so bad here right now.
Let me tell you, I don't want to hear any more about the Steelers finally lost a game. You're out there playing golf in the middle of December, for crying out loud. You've gotten soft up there in Pittsburgh.
I think that's part of the problem, is it's not as cold here in December as it used to be, so we are soft. I mean, listen, hey, for a talk show host, the Steelers losing a game has been, it made it the easiest week I've had all year, believe me.
Yeah, well, they keep it in the short grass, but I appreciate both you guys coming on here and, again, proving once again that Wes and I have not screwed up the four shot. We've gotten through another back-to-back interview without stumbling through this whole deal, which is remarkable for us.
Well, thank you for having
us,
guys. Obviously. That's a great, thing.
You got it. Have fun tonight.
Paul Zeiss, who covers Pittsburgh on not only radio but also in print, Sean Bedford. He's the analyst with Andy Demetra on the Learfield IMG College Georgia Tech Network. Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy the game tonight. 7 o'clock kick from Bobby Dodd Stadium at Grant Field with Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Fun show today, man. Good guest as always. Crew does a great job. The smart people back in Bristol on top of it as always. I just had a guy send me a tweet. Wes, tried your suggestion. Keith Hill.
Yeah.
Pack, tried your suggestion. Gingerbread and cognac is already sold out. I'm telling you. Get your hands on it. You'll thank me later. It's as good as it gets. But I digress.
Great. Jeez. Oh, man. Are you kidding me with you and the Jenny's ice cream?
Just telling you. You can't keep this figure.
What flavor are we going to dive into tonight, by the way? Because you got football. You got two women's basketball games to look at. What are you eating tonight?
I ordered for Thanksgiving six different pints, six different flavors on the the holiday special. So I forgot it was in there. And that's why I just went to town. How could you not? Ice cream, man. It's not just ice cream. It's great ice cream. Gingerbread and cognac. I highly suggest if you can find it, get it. You'll thank me later.
Yeah.
All right. I digress.
We'll give you the schedule on the night in women's basketball coming up, including the two ball games on ACC Network. From time to time, ACC games, the results of those games end up carrying a little bit more significance in some places than others. Last week's Virginia-Boston College game carried, obviously, significance on the field to both the Eagles and the Cavaliers, but there were two very interested observers of the game in the Atlanta Falcons locker room, and that would be Matt Schaub, a former Virginia Cavalier, and Matt Ryan, a former Boston College Eagle. So if you're not familiar with this concept, in places like that, sometimes you end up with wagers, as it were. And apparently the wager last week was the winner has to get the loser to wear his college jersey during the Wednesday practice sessions. So yesterday, Matty Ice became Virginia Shabby at the Falcon Wednesday practice. And knowing a little bit about the two guys, I would tell you this, that there was probably some other things that were wagered along the way, along with Ryan wearing Schaub's jersey, which was hilarious because Schaub, a veteran in this league of about 16 years now, I guess, seemingly. Schaub's played a long time. He and Ryan have an unbelievable relationship and get all over each other about college football. And to see Ryan having to wear the old Virginia 7 out there of Matt Schaub, pretty funny. That happens from time to time when two teams play on a Saturday. There is a Sunday result in an NFL locker room to somebody's advantage and disadvantage.
I suspect that wearing that jersey was the least painful thing that happened out of that transaction. I think the video that we just saw right there, what was the easiest thing Matty Ice had to do would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And in fact, after seeing the video yesterday, I'm almost inclined to see if Schaub could join us on the show maybe Tuesday of next week to tell us what else might have been involved.
We might be better off not knowing.
The Commonwealth Cup. Well, that's probably true.
For all parties involved.
Two great guys, by the way. Yeah. Two great guys. But anyway, nonetheless, Matt Ryan had to wear Matt Schaub's jersey, and I feel confident had Boston College won the game, we'd have seen Schaub out there in a BC 12 jersey from Ryan's playing days on the Heights. So anyway, that's a little bit of a look there. It also brings to mind, Pack, of, you know, you get games every week. Virginia Tech this week. There'll be a wager somewhere in an NFL locker room involving something that will, financial and otherwise, that will result in somebody doing something perhaps next Tuesday or Wednesday in their availability, as they say.
And given the amount of players to the next level, I assure you North Carolina and Miami have some side skin going on. Guarantee you that that's happening.
Yep.
Promise.
Yep.
So, I like
typically, it's the long-standing rivalries that cause it. Oh, yeah, I like the games, too. And I want to go back to give you full credit on Monday for this. Tonight's Pitt-Georgia Tech game, some accounting involved in these now.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the accounting games, is it not?
Yep. Like I told you, there's a lot of games this week involving teams almost tied to the hip as far as accounting goes. So we're going to have some serious potential flip-flopping when we get back here on Monday. But by the way, you teased me some kind of stat that you've got for me for Wake Louisville, I'm assuming.
That's tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to give it to me tomorrow. Okay.
That's tomorrow.
All right. I have to wait.
Oh, that's not today. No. This is tomorrow. Because knowing the research and the depth that this went in, we're going to have some video support for this.
Mike. Oh, good. Excellent.
Feel I confident. Like yeah.
I like
this. I don't want to say it's a historical game, but this type game doesn't come around very often, as they say.
Okay.
So
and
we'll
by the way, I will just give folks...
Who you like tonight, by the way?
But I will,
who you like tonight?
I like Pitt tonight. And by the way, from a uniform standpoint, this... And I don't know what the guys are wearing tonight. Ooh. This potentially could be a great uniform game. Because I like both schools' combinations. And if they hit with the right combos tonight from a... aesthetically speaking, this potentially could be outstanding uniform television tonight.
Yep.
Pitt and Georgia Tech. I agree. Pitt, but my confidence level is not extremely high. That'd be my gut reaction to that game.
All right. I think it's a close game. I like the Panthers, too. A couple of years ago, Pitt won a long field goal in Atlanta. Chris Blewett kicked the long one. Wouldn't be surprised if it's a late score that determines this one.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.